Guys, on this Memorial Day weekend, and it looks a little different probably than what you're used to. We have an acoustic set, which honestly are my favorite things because it's just a little bit more chill and we get to actually hear each other sing. So let's stand as we worship.
Now the darkness fades into new beginnings as we lift our eyes to a hope beyond. Our creation waits with an expectation to declare the reign of the Lord our God. We will not be moved when the earth gives way. Silence breaks in the name of Jesus as the heavens cry, let the earth respond. All creation shouts with a voice of triumph to declare the reign of the Lord our God. Yeah, we will not be moved when the earth gives way.
God, as we gather and worship and sing and pray and hear your story and your message, Lord, I pray that our hearts and our eyes would be ready to encounter you. Lord God, there's so many distractions in life. I can even think of so many worries and trials that have taken place in my life, and I'm so thankful that at every step of those moments, you've been there, you've been present, and you've been close. So Lord, as we gather here as your people with so many things happening in life, I pray that we would catch a glimpse of your closeness, how you desire to be with your people through the battles and through the victory. May we see you today, God. Praise on Jesus' name. Amen. Let's continue to sing, y'all.
Nothing can stand up.
The battle belongs to you, and every fear lay at your feet. I'll sing through the night. Oh God, the battle belongs to you. So when I fight, fight on my knees, with my hands lifted high. Oh God, the battle belongs to you, and every fear I lay at your feet. I'll sing through the night. Oh God, the battle belongs to you. Oh God, the battle belongs to you. Well, y'all can have a seat.
Well, good morning, Stonehill Church. We're so excited that you're joining us. Good morning to those joining us online. My name's Eric. I'm the Student Ministries Director here.
My name is Ken Hyde. I'm a member of our Board of Elders, so it's great to have you all here this morning. Very nice.
It's absolutely great. We are so excited for today, and we're glad that you've joined us. Everyone should have received a bulletin on the way in. If you're joining us online, you can get to this Connect card on our main page of our website. But we'd love for you to pull that Connect card out and fill it out. We'd love to hear more about you and your family. We'd love to get you plugged in. Maybe even you have some prayer requests or some praises to report. We'd love to walk with you in your faith journey together. If you're brand new with us, even if you're brand new online, fill out that Connect card. We have a free gift for you. If you're in person, you can take this out to our guest services tent, and we'll give you a free gift. Just say thank you for joining us today.
I like free gifts.
They're good.
It's a good thing. Yeah. Well, also, just so you all know, if you're new to Stonehill, or if you've been coming for a little while and you still have questions, First Step at Stonehill, great way for you all to ask those questions, to learn more about the church and our mission here in the community and what we're trying to do. So First Step at Stonehill, again, on your Connect card, in your bulletin, you can sign up next Sunday at 2 o'clock at the HQ is going to be First Step at Stonehill. So again, great way to meet the staff, great way to get involved, how you can get plugged in. So you can fill out the card, or you can sign up on our website online or using the app. So take a chance and fill that out, and we would love to see you there next week at 2 o'clock.
I hear there's going to be food, Ken.
Well, and there's childcare, and there's desserts, so that's always good.
That's good.
There's no Mountain Dew in the refrigerator at the HQ, and that's my only big pet peeve because I've got a caffeine issue, but anyway.
We'll talk to the lead pastor. We'll get that figured
out
for
Doug.
You.
Yeah, talk to Doug.
We have some other exciting things coming up. We have camp coming up. Ken, do you like camp?
I like camp. I like games.
Camp is amazing. We have camp for all second graders through graduating seniors. And so we want to invite you to get your kids and students registered. Our first chance camp for our second and third graders is right around the corner. It's on June 27th, so you don't want to wait. All of the information for all three of our camps can be found on our website, stonehill.church/camp. We'd love to see as many kids and students attend as possible.
And again, we're so glad that you all are here with us on Memorial Day weekend. You know, start of the summer, but even more importantly, tomorrow is Memorial Day. So to all of the men and women who have served our country and fought and died for our freedom, thank you for making this the greatest country on earth. Check out this video.
When I look back through history and consider all the sacrifices in every war, and I try to grasp it all, come to grips with it, stand in reverence of all those willing to give their lives for something bigger than themselves, I am stunned by the sheer numbers. All those lives, all those families serving their country. I can't always comprehend it. My heart is not big enough to take it all in, that each one didn't come home. What they lost for their service, what we gained for their courage. Today, I stop to remember. Every single number is one soldier, one sailor who got up in the morning and put on a uniform, one Marine who answered the call to fight for freedom, one airman who knew the cost and went anyway, one man or woman who paid the ultimate price for many, and the freedom I live in now. Today, I remember.
Well, good morning, everybody. We're so glad you're with us today. Whether you're here in person or you're watching online, we want to welcome you. And you talk about people that are fearless. I think about all the men and women that have given their lives in service to our country in the armed forces. And maybe you know someone like that today. We remember them this weekend. I know a lot of times this weekend gets to be more of like a camping weekend or people go out of town and travel. But we do want to remember the purpose of it as well. Also, for those of you that have served in the armed forces, or maybe you currently are serving in armed forces, we want to thank you as well. And so I know you don't like to do this, but if you have served or are currently serving, can we honor you today by standing up and just thanking you? So if you've served in any type of the armed forces or military, we had a bunch in the first services. Can we, there you go. We want to thank you. Yeah. Thank you, guys. Thank you for your service. Now we would like for you to come up on stage and speak a little bit. just kidding. We are in a series called Fearless. And for the past few weeks, we are studying the book of Acts. We've been studying the book of Acts for the entire year. We take a section and then take a little break and then take a section. And so we've been in it for the past few weeks and we entitled it Fearless. The first week we talked about this idea of having a fearless faith. And then last week, Chris did a great job talking about fearless prayers. And so we're going to start in the book of Acts today, Acts 4. So we'd love for you to open up your Bibles or pull up your Bible app, or if you have the bulletin, the verses, a lot of them are on the verses on the bulletin or on the screen. We actually, I don't know if you know this, but we have an app. And we just came out with a kind of a new updated app as I just found out this morning. So it's really cool, but it's on there as well. And it has our message notes, and it has the scriptures that you can go to. And so if you've never downloaded that, that's a great thing to do as well. But Acts chapter 4, and as you're turning there, I want to tell you a little bit about my son Trevor. A few years ago, he's 23 now, he's my oldest son. But probably when he was a teenager, younger, middle schooler, we were at my father-in-law's house in Baker City, Oregon. And he owns a little ranch, and it's not really little. It's kind of a, you know, bigger acreage. And out there, they burn trash often. And they have what's called a burn barrel. Do you guys know what I'm talking about? Ever been out in the country? And that, yeah, some of you are like, yeah, you know what I'm talking about? You burn the trash. You don't wait for the garbage people to come. I mean, you just burn it. And so one day, we were tasked to go burn the trash out in the burn barrel. So I take my son Trevor out there. Again, this is probably 10 years ago. And My son had seen my father-in-law burn trash, and so what he would do is he would take a little bit of diesel, and he'd put it on there and just kind of dab a little bit on there and then throw the match in there, and it'd be a nice little starter for the fire. So my son saw my father-in-law do this, thought he would do the same thing, and so for a minute, I walked into the barn to do something, and while I was in the barn, my son found the gas can and began to douse all of the trash, not just a little bit of gas, but a lot of gas. And so I walk out, and as I see him doing this, I'm walking, and he pulls out the match, and he lights the match, and he throws it in the burn barrel. Now, I don't know if you've ever had this experience before, but all of a sudden, everything went into slow motion. And so as the match is running and going into the air, flying into the burn barrel, I'm running out there like, no! And all of a sudden, the match falls into the burn barrel, and boom! I mean, this massive fire plume came out of the barrel and just goes right over Trevor's head, and in the process totally takes his eyebrows out, and literally the hairs on the back of his head and his neck were singed. Now, fortunately, Trevor was okay, but that day he learned to have a healthy fear of fire. So we've been talking about this idea of being fearless, and we're called as Christians to be fearless, to have bold faith. And we see in the very beginning of the book of Acts so far, some of these early Christians, man, they go all out, they're bold. I mean, they go out, they have faith. But I think we can't neglect the idea that there is what is called a healthy fear. And in today's passage, we're going to see kind of the opposite idea is that there are certain things that we should be fearful of in a good way. So I want to dig down into Acts chapter 4 and talk about this morning. And we're going to start in Acts chapter 4 to kind of get the background of what we're really going to talk about in Acts chapter 5. So here we go, Acts chapter 4, verse 32. So all the believers were one in heart and mind. So just kind of back up. Church started in Acts chapter 2, it's Acts chapter 4. Things are going well. I mean, God is doing some incredible, miraculous thing in the midst of persecution. But God is kind of doing his thing, and people by the thousands are coming to know Jesus as their Lord and their Savior. So things are going well. It says, no one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. And so the church is doing what the church should do, right? So loving one another, caring for one another, being there for one another. And with great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And God's grace was so powerfully at work in them, and that there were no needy persons among them. For from time to time, those who owned land or houses, they sold them, and they brought their money from the sales. And they put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who was in need. Now, this is the church doing what the church, one of the things that the church should be doing. They were the most generous people there were on the earth. Everything they had was common. Their land, their possessions, their toothbrushes, okay? Just kidding, there was probably some limits there, you know? But they were sharing everything with one another, taking care of each other. Stonehill Church, that's what we're called to do as well. And we can do a better job at it in a lot of areas as individuals and as the church. We're working on that, growing in that. I do want you to know, and very thankful for many of you that give financially to Stonehill Church. And when you give financially to Stonehill Church, what happens is a certain percentage of that money goes into our outreach fund, and there's a subgroup called a benevolence fund. And so what we're able to do instantly when someone comes, has a need, comes to us and can't pay a bill, a medical bill, can't buy food, can't take care of their kids, is a widow or an orphan, or something happens and someone is in need, we can instantly take care of them because of your giving. And many of you don't know that. You don't see that happening because that's not something we promote or boast about or brag about. But I do want you to know that you, by your financial giving, we help out people all of the time. That's what the church was doing. So what happens? Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, he sold a field and he owned, and he brought the money and he put it at the apostles' feet. This man is a great picture of a man that has been radically changed by the gospel, that Jesus has a hold of his heart. He has less interest on holding on his money, more interest on loving people. He cared about people. You know, it's a great picture of how we should be as Christ followers. And so he was so regarded as a lover and it cared about people that the apostles gave him a new name. They called him Barney, okay? Not the purple dinosaur, but Barnabas here, which means sons of encouragement. And the apostles were like, hey, you know, we care so much about you, Barnabas. We're so thankful for you. I bet you someday, Barnabas, you're going to get your name in the Bible. Now, Barnabas wasn't doing it for that. He was doing it because he cared about people, and we see that God recognized it by putting his name in God's word. So what happens? We switch a little bit and contrast Barnabas to another man and woman. Verse 1 of 5, chapter 5. Now a man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, they also sold a piece of property. And with his wife's full knowledge, now I think that's important because they were in this together. They were both together. They both knew about what was happening here. And so with his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself, but brought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. Then Peter said to Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit? Now, I want you to get this. He's kind of in trouble here. And it's not because he didn't give all of his money. It was the fact that he gave money and then he lied about it, saying that he had given all of his money. And what is interesting here is that the writer here, Luke, is giving us a contrast between Barnabas and Ananias here. And this is the first time that Satan's name is mentioned again since the time of Jesus being on the cross. And so he's contrasting Barnabas, who is filled with the Holy Spirit, doing the right things for the right reasons, and he's contrasting this man named Ananias doing the wrong things for the wrong reasons, being filled with Satan, he says here. So this is what happens. He says, "Why have you lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land?" He's like, "Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal?" But basically he was like, "Ananias, this was your money. You could have done whatever you wanted with it. You didn't have to lie about it. You could have given the church half the money or part of the money or none of the money. That's not the problem. The problem is you lied." And he goes on, he says, "What made you think of doing such a thing? You've not just lied to human beings, but you've lied to God. I bet you $1 million that this is what Ananias is thinking." He's like, "Man, that guy Barnabas, he got his name in the Bible. I'm going to get my name in the Bible too." And he did. But the problem wasn't that he kept the money. The problem was he lied. So what happens? Verse 5. It says, "When Ananias heard this, he fell down and he died." What? Some of you did not see that coming. You're new to church and you're new to your faith, or you're new to God, and you're like, "What in the world is going on?" It's not what you expected. And I guarantee you, this is not what Peter expected. He's like, "God, we've been healing people for the last 3 chapters, and now we're killing people. Like, what in the world is going on here?" And so Ananias, he falls down and died, and it says that great fear seized all who had heard what had happened. You think? I mean, can you imagine being there, experiencing that, and you see this take place, and this fear comes among the people that know about it and that hear about it? I mean, can you imagine you inviting to someone to Stonehill Church, like, "Hey, come to church. Come with me. You know, today I think somebody's going to lie. They're going to be killed in church. It's going to be awesome. We're going to have a great time. Come with me." You know, I mean, can you imagine what's going on here? And so what happens? "Then some young men, they came forward, they wrapped up his body, and they carried him out, and they buried him." And I kind of picture this as the interns of the church. You know, they're upstairs playing some ping pong, and they're like, "You need to come down to the lobby right now. We've got some heavy lifting to do." And so they got these young men carrying this man out. Verse 7, "About 3 hours later, his wife comes in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter asked her, 'Tell me, is this the price you and Ananias got for the land?' And she said, 'Yes, this is the price.'" So she's lying here again. "And Peter says to her, 'How could you conspire to test the Spirit of the Lord? Listen, the feet of the men who buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out also.' And at that moment, she fell down, and she at his feet, and she died. So the young men came in, finding her dead, carried her out, and buried her beside her husband." And I want you to see what happens again. It says, "Great fear seized the whole church and all who heard about these events." Now, I remember as a kid and as a teenager, and I grew up in church, so I heard this story and other stories in the Bible. And if I'm going to be honest with you, it freaked me out a little bit. And I'm like, "What is going on here?" I can imagine if you are new to God and learning about God and you're seeking who this God is and what does it mean to be a Christian, and you're new to Stonehill Church or new to church in general, and you come and you hear a story about this, this is like, "What in the world is happening?" And so what I want to do for the next few minutes is I want to take you through, and I want to give you some lessons that we all can learn from the story of Ananias and Sapphira. Things that will help us, A, understand the story, but B, help us to really apply some practical application to what God is trying to teach us today. So here it is. Lessons from Ananias and Sapphira. As you're taking notes, it's this. Number one, it's not about the money. It's all about the heart. It's not about the money. It's all about the heart. You see, their lies here are symptomatic of a deeper problem. The problem isn't about the lying. The problem is about their heart and the pride that is there, and wanting glory for themselves, being lifted up, being edified above really where they should be and really where God wants to be. So here it is. Things like lying. things like jealousy, things like cheating, things like not being generous. Yeah, they're an issue, but they're not the real root of the problem. It really comes back to the heart. You see, there's lying, there's cheating. It's really kind of like smoke from a fire, right? The problem is the fire, but the smoke is the evidence of the fire. And so I've struggled with this a little bit in my life of really getting down to the root of the issue. So when I was younger, I always craved and had this desire of people liking me and wanting approval of other people. So when I was younger, especially, I did a lot of stupid things so people would like me. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Maybe you've experienced that somewhat as well. And so I would do these things and try to get the approval of people. Now, as I've gotten older, I've learned, hopefully, not to do as many stupid things. But what I've also realized and what I've learned and what I'm learning is this, that I just do other things that maybe aren't as stupid, but I do things to get the approval of people. And what I've learned is that there really is a void in my life when that takes place. And I'm trying to fill that void with the applause of men and the applause of women and looking for the approval of my friends and my family, when what I should be focused on is filling that void with God. And when I'm doing this and when I'm healthy and when I'm filling my heart and my life with the things of the Lord and the Holy Spirit working in me, what I realize is I do not need the approval of people as much. So when we think of things like lying and cheating and gossiping or anger, unrighteous anger, those things are really about the smoke. It's really about what's going on inside of our heart. There is a root issue. There is a problem. And so what we need to do is we need to be filled by the Spirit of God. How are we filled by the Spirit of God? By being in His Word, by reading God's Word, by talking to God every day through prayer, by being with other believers in community. That's why it is so important to gather together on Sundays, to gather together in other smaller groups during the week so that we can be there for each other, to encourage each other, to admonish one another. And when we do that, when we're being filled by the Spirit of God, what happens is this: we find the ultimate joy and the ultimate satisfaction of God loving us. You see, it's not about the money here. It's about their hearts. That's the first thing that we learn. Here's the second thing that we learn from this story. Healthy fear should be part of our worship. Healthy fear should be part of our worship. And you say, well, isn't the series called Fearless or Fearless? Yes, that there is something about being fueled by the power of God that gives us a boldness and an attitude where we can go into anything with the strength and the power of God. We don't have to be timid. But at the same time, there's something about having a healthy fear. And I want you to see this. Look what happens in this story. Verse 5, it says, great fear seized all who had heard what had happened. Ananias dies, then the story gets out. I mean, you can imagine, right? It's getting around the community, and everybody sees this, and they hear this. And there is this fear that seizes this community. And then Sapphira dies, and then we see in verse 11, it says, great fear seized the whole church and all who heard. And so it keeps on rippling through. There was this fear, this holy fear that begins to take place here. But I want you to see what happens after this fear seizes this church and this community. In verse 14, right after the story, it says this: nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. Because of this godly fear, because of this healthy fear, people saw who God really is and who God really was in their life, and this fear seized them, and God began to do something incredible. Now, some of you say, well, isn't God supposed to be like this cosmic teddy bear that's filled with love and peace? Like, isn't Jesus supposed to be like love and happiness? And yes, 100%. God is love. God is peace. God is kindness. God is merciful. But God is also holy. God is just. God is perfect. And so when we understand God's love, when we begin to understand God's love, what we begin to also understand is the magnificence of his glory and his perfection, who God really is. I love how John Piper, he illustrates this idea of having a healthy fear and what it really means. John Piper is a pastor, and he wrote a book called The Pleasures of God. And he says, pretend for a moment you are in the Himalayan mountains. And you're walking there, it's in the dead of midwinter. And you get to this cliff, and as you look over this cliff, you see hundreds and hundreds of feet. It's a drop-off. And you know that if you were to fall over that cliff, that you would surely die. And there's this kind of this healthy fear of watching yourself around this cliff. But then all of a sudden, this massive winter storm comes your way, and there's wind, and there's snow, and you also know that if you stand there by the cliff, this wind could easily knock you off. And so there's this awe and this fear when it comes to the storm, healthy fear. Then all of a sudden, you see this little cleft, you see this little ridge, and you know that if you can get in there, it's going to help you. See, you jump into the cliff, you jump into the ridge, and as you're there, you're secure, you're safe. But as you see the storm approaching, you're watching it in awe. And you know that your life is no longer in danger, but there's this awe of magnificence as you see the storm. And you understand that you would not want to mess with that storm, even though you're safe and secure in that hiding place. It's the way God is. The fear of God is what is left when the storm, when you have a safe place to watch it, right in the middle of it. And that safe place is Jesus, putting our trust and our faith in him. And what we can do is we know that our life is not in danger eternally, but yet at the same time we watch the magnificence of the storm in awe, in a kind of a trembling pleasure, realizing who God is, understanding that our hope is in him. You see, it's a healthy biblical fear. I love this definition of biblical fear. It's this idea of awe mixed with intimacy. Awe mixed with intimacy, where we can look at God and we can understand all of his attributes, his love, his kindness, his generosity, his mercy. But at the same time, we understand that God is a perfect and he's a righteous and he's a holy. He's a God with great character. At the same time, we can have a personal relationship with him. It's that all mixed with intimacy. And the more we understand and have this healthy biblical fear, the more we actually see and grasp the magnificence of God's love. I love what happens just a couple chapters later in the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 9, verse 1, the church is thriving. God is moving. God is doing some amazing things. And look what it says. It says, the church throughout Judea and Galilee and Samaria, they enjoyed a time of peace. They were strengthened. They were living in the fear of the Lord and encouraged by the Holy Spirit and increased in numbers. Because of their healthy fear, because they have a good understanding of who God really is from A to Z, the church grew. The church blossomed. You see, there's something about having a healthy fear when it comes to our worship of God. Here's the third lesson that I want to pull out from today's passage. It's this. Is that sin is serious to God. Sin is serious to God. You're like, I don't know if I like that. I don't really like that concept, that idea. And here's what I would say is we want a God. We should want a God who takes sin seriously. We want a God of justice. Like, for imagine for a moment you had a friend or a loved one who was murdered. And you get to the hearing, and the person that murdered this friend or whatever, they get in front of the judge, and the judge at the end says, hey, no big deal. You can go on. You can do whatever you want. There's no punishment for what you have done. Can you imagine the anger that you would feel in that instance? Why? Because you want justice. We want a God of justice. We also want a God, we want a God who's jealous. We want a jealous God. You say, Doug, isn't jealousy wrong? Isn't it sinful? It can be, but there's also a healthy jealous. When it comes to my wife, Heather, I can get pretty jealous. You know, I don't want my wife to date anybody else, okay? You say, well, Doug, you mean you're not okay with someone giving your wife a little kiss on the cheek? No. Doug, you're not okay with your wife like hanging out with some other dudes? No. Why? Because I'm a jealous guy. Not that I distrust her, but because there are certain things as my bride and as a husband and wife that we can only share together. It's for the goodness of her and me and for my family that I am jealous when it comes to my relationship with my wife. That's the way Jesus is with his church. You see, the church is the bride of Christ. And just as I'm jealous with my bride, Jesus is jealous with his bride. So with that in mind, we're at the very beginning of the church starting here. This is only a couple chapters in. You don't go to Jerusalem, and there's not like a ton of churches everywhere. There's not like the First and Second Baptist of Jerusalem and the Methodist Church and the Assemblies of God Church. I mean, this is it. It's like a little community group run by a couple dudes, Peter and John. Like, this is the very beginning of the church. And God is protecting his bride on its honeymoon. And so the church couldn't afford to go down because of this type of corruption right now. Now let me say this. You probably won't see, now these days, you probably won't see something like this happening in a church. I've been in ministry for 23 years. I've been in the church my whole life. I know a lot of other churches. I've never heard of something like this happening at a church before. Okay, never, ever, ever. And so we probably won't see that in our lifetime. I hope we don't. But why did this happen there? Well, today we have all kinds of branches of the church everywhere. I did a Google search of how many evangelical churches are in the world, and it was like millions. Millions of different churches and different branches of the church all over the world. But this wasn't a branch yet. This was the root. And if the root didn't take off, then there is no church. So God is protecting his church at this moment. Now, some of you say, Doug, this is like super serious. This like sounds super serious. And I will say this. It is. It is serious. God takes sin seriously. Now, if you know me, you know that I like to have fun. You know that I like to joke and have a good time. And especially when I'm in a good spot in my life and healthy. And I just don't like to take life too seriously. For example, a couple weeks ago, I went golfing with some guys in a local course here. It wasn't a super fancy course. They didn't have like a lot of super restrictions and rules. It wasn't a place where you have to like tuck your shirt in type of place, okay? So it's two groups. I'm in the front group with three guys. And then behind me, there's a foursome playing that we knew. And it was filled with three middle school dudes who barely had ever played golf before. So you can imagine it wasn't like a super serious time of golfing. So the rules and are going out the door here. And so we get to like the 14th or 16th hole, and I thought it would be pretty funny to take the flag, in the cup and flip it upside down where the flag was in the cup and the stick was sticking outside so they couldn't see where the flag was when they were walking up to the green. Now, if you're a serious golfer, you'd be so frustrated at that. But I thought it was funny considering the circumstances and just having a good time with these guys that are middle school. And so when they get up to the hole or get closer to it, they can't see the flag. And so I wasn't there at the moment, but I overheard one of the guys that told one of the other guys, this is what he said about me. And he's my friend, so I could say this. He said, my goodness, Doug is so immature. I cannot believe he's our pastor. This is what he says, okay? So I thought it was funny, and it was good times, and we just have a good time. But here's the thing. I think Christians, sometimes we are too serious. And we should be some of the most joyful people in the world, right? Jesus Christ saved us for all eternity. He gave us new life spiritually. If anyone should be happy and thankful and celebratory, it should be Christians. And if I'm just going to be honest with you for a second, some of you take life too seriously. And what we used to say back in the day is we said that you need to just chill out. You need to chillax, take a chill pill, okay? Some of the new kids, or the younger kids, Generation C, they would say this about you. Stop being a Karen, okay? Stop it. Some of you are like, what does that mean? Google it if you don't know what it means. No offense to any of you Karens out there right now. We like you, okay? okay. Man, we should have a good time. We should love the Lord. We come to church, there should be laughter and joy and celebration. We see someone baptized, man, we should be so happy, so excited. But what God is showing us here is this. Sin is a serious thing. And if we're honest, at first glance, most of us, we look at this story and we're like, I don't know if I like that. We might even be offended a little bit that God would do something like that. And I'll say this, if we're offended by the judgment of God here, if we're offended at what God has done here, I'll be honest with you, we might not really understand the fullness of who God truly is. So if we don't take God's holiness seriously, what is it going to be like when we're standing before Jesus in heaven? And he says, hey, what did you do for me in this life? And our response is something like this, like, Jesus, I know that you died for me. I know that your beard was ripped, and I know that you were spit on. I know that you were beaten with the whip. I know that people mocked you. But I'm sorry that I didn't take sin seriously. I'm sorry that I didn't take my relationship with you seriously. So here's the question for us today as we kind of like wrap this up and what do we do with this story? How do we like really react to the story? Here's the question for all of us. Are you treating God flippantly? Are you treating God flippantly? Are you a person that feels like, man, I've accepted Jesus in my heart, and so I've got to get out of jail, get out of hell free card. I've got like this heavenly Visa card that I can just sin and do whatever I want without any consequences. Are you someone that looks at life and your relationship with Jesus that way? You say, Doug, isn't God about grace? Isn't God about mercy? Isn't God about forgiveness? Yes, he is. But God is also perfect. God is also just. God is also a holy, holy God. He is both. I love what Tim Keller says. This is a pastor in New York. And he talks about really the gospel. And he makes this quote. He says this, religion stresses holiness over grace. It's this idea that religion, religious people, they stress the rules and the laws and how we should live. But over grace, it's not about God's grace. It's about us doing the right thing, not about what God already did for us. And then there's the opposite extreme, which is this. Irreligion stresses freedom over holiness. It's this idea that we can do whatever we want. Once we receive Christ in our heart and our life, we can do whatever we want, whenever we want. It doesn't matter. But he says this, Christianity is this. The gospel is this. It's freedom through grace that leads to holiness. Freedom through grace that leads to holiness. I want you to think about that. That we're imperfect. But God loved us so much that he gave his son Jesus to die for us. And because of that, we receive him. Or when we receive him into our heart and our life, he forgives us. He forgives us of our sin. But then we are able to walk out a life that's pleasing to the Lord. Not because of what we do, but because of what Jesus does through us. And so when we truly understand God's mercy, when we truly understand the forgiveness and the love of God, it actually leads us to the understanding of God's holiness and God's perfection and the seriousness of sin. So we can't treat it flippantly. We can't treat it flippantly. So what do we do? What's the answer? Here's the good news. In 1 John 1:9, it tells us this, that if we confess our sins, that he is faithful and he is just and he will forgive us of our sins and he will, it says, purify our righteousness. Now this is twofold here. Maybe you're here today or you're watching online right now and you have never began your relationship with Christ. You've never surrendered your life to Jesus. You've never realized that you are a sinner and you've never asked God to come into your heart and your life and ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins. You've never done. We call that justification. That's a biblical term or a doctrine term that basically means this, that you are justified just as if you never sinned because of what Jesus did for you on the cross. When he gave his life for you, he was the substitute for you and he took our place. So when we confess that and we give it to the Lord, he comes into our heart and our life and he saves us, is what the Bible says. Saves us from our sin, saves us for eternity and this life. But then there's another process. It's called sanctification. When you receive Christ in your heart and your life, we are in process. We never arrive. We are never perfect until we reach heaven when we will finally be perfected. But in this life, we'll continue to mess up. We'll continue to sin. Hopefully, it becomes less and less as we grow and mature and become more like Jesus. But the key is this, is that when we do sin, that we confess that. And when we confess that, God says he'll forgive us. See, for the Christian, the believer, this is kind of how it works. You see, we confess our sins not because we're not saved. We confess our sins because we want our relationship with God to be right. If you can kind of picture this, that you have the sun in the sky, and when there's clouds there, you can't see the sun or you're affected, and you're really not in tune with the sun as much. And the same thing is true as Christians. Jesus is the sun, and so when there's sin in our life, it's like the clouds are there. And we know the sun is there, but it affects our walk and it affects our relationship with Christ. And so when we confess our sins, he forgives us of our sins, and it's like the clouds dissipate, and we can see the sun more clearly. That is good news for us. And I think what we do oftentimes is we look at this early church and we think, they have it all together. I mean, God was doing some amazing things. Why can't we go back to then when everything was going right and everybody was doing what they were called to do and God was blessing them? And then we read stories like this and we realize that it's not true. That they too had moments of weakness. They too had members who lied and were hypocrites at times. And that's good news for us as a church. And that's good news for me personally because we all have areas of sin. So which propels us to do what? It propels us to go back to God daily, to confess our sins. Say, God, I'm sorry. Thank you for your grace and your love and your mercy. But I also realize that you are a holy, just, perfect God. And you want me to be in right standing with you. So I ask for forgiveness. And you allow God to wipe that slate clean again. Can we pray together this morning? God, thank you for this moment, this time. Thank you for this story, even though this is one of these stories that I don't like it. At the same time, I do like it because it gives me a better picture of who you are, God, and what you value and your character. And so I thank you for that, God. I praise you for that. When no one's looking this morning, I want to kind of talk to a couple different groups. First of all, maybe you're here today. You've never received Christ. You've never been what I called a moment ago, justified. You don't even understand what it means to be a Christian. And simply, the gospel is this, that we're sinners. God loved us so much. He sent his son, Jesus, who is perfect. He took our place. He was a substitute for us. And when we receive that free gift of what he did for us on the cross, then God will make us right. When we make him the Lord of our life, we commit our life to him, and then God will make us right. And so maybe today, that's what you need to do. As you're sitting here in person, you're watching online, you're like, I've never done that before, and I need to commit my life to Jesus. You can do that right where you're seated. You pray a prayer, something simple like, I know I'm a sinner. I give my life to you. I commit my life to you. It's more of a heart thing. Do that right now. Maybe you're here today and you're a Christ follower and you're struggling with something in your life. And I don't know what that is. Honestly, probably most of us, there's something in our life that we continually struggle with. It could be bitterness. Someone did something to you and you're angry and you're mad. And it's not a righteous anger. It's an unrighteous anger where it's hurting you. Maybe some of you, it could be a guy or a girl, you're looking at things that you shouldn't be looking at. Something on a computer screen or your phone. It's an image. But you're watching something on TV, on Netflix, or something that's just not, it's not, it doesn't lead your life to be more like Christ. I don't know what that is. But you know you shouldn't be doing it. You need to give it to the Lord. Maybe some of you deal with some type of anger problem and you treat your family not very nice. You come home from work and you take it out on your kids. You take it out on your spouse. And that's something you just need to give up to the Lord. And you need to do what 1 John 1:9 says, and you need to confess your sins. I don't know what you're struggling with, but maybe that's what you need to do right now where you're seated. Maybe that's what you need to do as you're watching this online. Give it up to the Lord and allow him to purify you today. Do that. I'm gonna close this in prayer right now. God, thank you for this moment, this time, and I pray for all of us. God, that you're working and you're moving. Lord, help us to take sin seriously, Lord, so that we can ultimately celebrate the freedom and the grace and the love and really have a true understanding of what that is. We're so grateful. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. In a moment, our band's going to come up and they're going to play a song, and they're going to talk about a song named called Surrendering. And so maybe some of you need to take that next step and surrender. So we're going to do a couple more songs this morning, but let's continue to worship as we talk about that. Let's stand up. Let's sing these songs. Let's sing it out. Some of you need to feel free and worship today. Raise your hand. Sing it out loud, but allow the Holy Spirit to work through you as we sing together.
Thank you. give me Jesus, let all else fade away. Let all else fade away. Let all else fade away.
Through the sin and the hurts and the difficult times, the beautiful part about faith is that we get to walk this journey together. We get to link arms together and we get to walk this journey together. And that's truly beautiful. You don't have to do it alone. You don't have to walk this alone. And so I believe that we all have a next step leaving here today. And maybe for you, you just accepted Jesus into your life for the very first time. I want to encourage you, even if you're joining us online, go to the digital connect card. If you're in person, check that box. We'd love to pray for you. We'd love to walk with you on that journey. Maybe you're ready for baptism. Maybe that's what you need to check. Maybe you just have further questions about faith and what that actually looks like because you're hurting and you know you need it and you need this family, you need Jesus in your life. Check that box. Ask the question. We'd love to connect with you. You know, something that Doug said, he said, it's not about money, it's about hearts. And I really, really love that because it's not about money. Even with financial giving, it's not about the money, it's about the heart behind it. Giving is part of our faith journey. And some of you are faithful givers here at Stonehill. We so appreciate that because God is doing amazing things through your faith. Maybe you want to be a part of that. If you want to give, if you're on our website, you can give there. We have a brand new app. We just launched it. So if you have the app on your phone, go ahead and update it. It's really easy to get connected and to be able to give on there as well. But just know that you're not walking this journey alone. And I want to encourage you, don't miss this opportunity to take a next step. Maybe it's to get connected. Maybe it's to ask those questions. Maybe it's to reach out to somebody and say, I need some prayer. Maybe you need to write your prayer request here on this card or fill it out online. Whatever it is, take that next step so we can continue to walk together, encourage one another, show love to one another, and continue to take those steps toward Jesus. We're going to continue worshiping here. We have one more song for you guys, so I just want to encourage you guys, just turn your hearts toward Jesus, and let's finish out this service together, praising and excited to be on this faith journey together. Let's continue to sing.
Let's go out praising, y'all. Praise be a weapon.
Let praise be a weapon that conquers all the enemies. Let praise be a weapon that conquers all anxiety. Let it rise. is what freedom feels like. This is what heaven sounds like. We praise you, we praise you. This is what living looks like. This is what freedom feels like. This is what heaven sounds like. We praise you, we praise you. This is what living looks like. This is what freedom feels like. This is what heaven sounds like. We praise you.
Y'all have a great week. Go and be a people of grace and freedom, and we'll see you next Sunday. Have a great one, y'all.
Trying to satisfy my soul.